What's happening on the big screen and the small? What to watch with CJ Johnson.
Yes, CJ joins us regularly to talk about these important matters. CJ, good evening and welcome back to Nightlife.
Good evening, Philip. Thank you very, very, very much.
Great to have you with us too. Okay, TV made you look. This is a documentary on Netflix. We've got a cinema movie creation stories and another cinema in the French language, but it's getting a lot of publicity. Antoinette in the Cévennes. All right, let's start with the TV show, shall we? Made You Look.
It's actually a movie, Made You Look. It's a feature-length documentary for Netflix about art fraud, forgery. Yeah, in fact, it is about the largest systemic case of art forgery in history. And it is enormously entertaining. This is one of those documentaries that takes place in a world that is just, I don't know, so fascinating to me, and I guess it is fascinating to a lot of people, which is the world of high art and particularly modern art, including the buying and selling of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, as you know, as I know, as we all know, the prices for art and the prices, particularly for sort of modern abstract expressionism, have over the last decade or two just gone absolutely monstrous haywire, just gone crazy. Hundreds of millions of dollars being spent on a painting, and not, you know, not necessarily paintings by Van Gogh or Matisse or Monet, but paintings by people who only died in the last 20 years, you know, or people who died in the 50s, or, you know, your Jackson Pollocks and all of these people, your Mark Rothkos. And so this is about how someone potentially fooled someone else who potentially started fooling a lot of people into buying a whole lot of fake abstract expressionists by the modern mid-century American abstract expressionist school, people like Pollock and Rothko and their cohort. So it's, as I say, it's relentlessly entertaining. It's absolutely fascinating. All of the people in this movie are a character. You know, these are real people, but boy, they're characters. They're all very erudite. They're all very knowledgeable. They're all very comfortable in their own privilege. They're all very comfortable living in the upper echelons of Manhattan society. But among them, there are scammers and thieves and crooks and wannabes and all this stuff, you know, and they're both those things at once. You know, they're everything I just described all at once. They are erudite and intelligent, but also awful scammer thieves, you know. But the really interesting thing that the film gets to the heart of, I think, very, very well, is it really looks at the nature of conning and being conned and how we let people con us or how we start to believe cons and how, and the nature of how that all works. Because very often it's very deep psychologically that once you start getting conned, you're kind of willing to go along with it.
Like, and you want it to happen.
You want it to happen, or you want to believe that you haven't made the mistake.
You want to believe you haven't made a mistake.
And so you convince yourself that you haven't, and so you allow yourself to go deeper into the con and be conned. And all of that stuff is really in this film in a big way.
All right. It's called Made You Look. Here's a little from it.
I think it's, you know, very easy to see how I was so caught up in the excitement over the art.
They say they are sure she was a part of the criminal enterprise. They say they're positive.
Either she was complicit in it or she was one of the stupidest people to have ever worked at an art gallery.
I did not knowingly sell fakes. I was convinced that they were right.
At its heart is a huge emotional mystery because the central character either was conning people or wasn't, and you just don't know because she claims she believed they were. Oh, it's great. It's great. You're going to love it.
I was reading a long piece about a Leonardo da Vinci painting, which is apparently the only Da Vinci in public, in private hands in the world.
Right. It's
probably owned by the Saudi royal family, probably, because we don't know where it is.
Oh, really?
But there is debate about its authenticity.
And yeah.
Of course, if something, it was sold at auction for $450 million.
Goodness gracious.
So you think if something, that's right, if someone paid that, it kind of...
Well, that it gets into that too, this documentary. If someone paid that, is it worth it?
Is it real? Is it real?
Does the fact that someone's willing to pay it make it real?
Make it real.
But it also really gets into this thing of like, if you've got it and someone says it's real and therefore it's worth $450 million, it is in your best interest to believe it's real.
Of course.
And so at what point do you actually believe it? You know, that's where it gets interesting.
You don't want to break the chain.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. All right. Interesting. It's called Made You Look. It's on Netflix. Mm. In cinemas, creation stories.
Mm. This is an interesting one. This is kind of a direct mashup of 24-Hour Party People and Trainspotting. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know Trainspotting. Do you know 24-Hour Party People?
No, I don't.
It was a really entertaining film made by Michael Winterbottom about 15 years ago, I suppose, about Tony Wilson, who was this incredible, sort of intriguing owner of a label in Britain who was very instrumental at developing a lot of the acts that made up the Manchester scene in like the 90s in Britain. And I gather that there was another major label owner, Alan McGee, who created UK indie label Creation Records. And he was operating with similar acts. He was discovering acts that were London and Manchester based, that were on the edges of both the kind of rave music scene and what came to be known as Britpop. And his greatest discovery was the band Oasis. Mm-hmm. And Oasis for what seems now like not a very long period in musical history, but when they shone, they were monumental. I mean, they were the biggest band in the world, and they had that kind of thing going on of like the new Beatles, you know, they had that thing around them. So he had his moment of success. He had other successful bands besides Oasis, and this is his story. And what the filmmaker Nick Moran, who I gather is an English actor sort of turned filmmaker, what he's really done is he's clearly watched 24-Hour Party People a million times, Trainspotting a million times, cast one of the guys from Trainspotting, and used those films as his style template. So this film really feels like the absolute child of those two films, which means it doesn't really have a style of its own. You can see it copying the style of others, but the story itself is relatively entertaining. Its ace in the hole is the casting of Ewan Bremner. You knew him and loved him as Spud in Trainspotting, and now here he is. He's a man in his 50s, I suppose. Spud's all grown up, and he plays Alan McGee, and he plays him with absolute passion and enthusiasm and ferocity. Sometimes too much. Sometimes his energy is just so much that you want him to quieten down. But he does pull you through a film that is at times a little bit confused in its storytelling, especially when they get into the drugs, which are inevitable.
Yes, this is some from it. It's called Creation Stories.
Have you got your sister's makeup on? If I so much as hear you mention those sexy pistols, you'll wish you were never born. You look ridiculous!
Have you ever even been to London? Do you know anyone there?
No, I can be whatever I want to be in London.
It's good to have a dream.
Are you sure about him?
We need more dreamers in this family.
Do you have any more bands on your label?
Label?
I knew we could take over the world.
I have a dream. We're gonna be bigger than you two!
Big day tomorrow?
It's fine. In London.
At this rate, how long can we survive?
Alan, we're already dead. Now could things get any worse?
Bailiffs! Bailiffs?
Oh, man.
No. We've got a band called the Bailiffs.
Every now and then, a band comes along that changes your life.
Like to welcome to the stage, Oasis.
Well, they were big, not for very long, but for a while, yeah.
But they really were. Their light when it shone very, very brightly. Yeah. The fun of this movie is being there. This film takes place around the music scene in London and Manchester in the 80s and 90s, and that's a place to be.
Sure.
And the film does it quite well in putting you there.
Okay, now, a French movie that's in cinemas at the moment. It's certainly getting a bit of publicity, this thing. It's called Antoinette and the Savant, or also known as apparently My Lover, My Donkey and I, which does
Terrible title.
Terrible title. That's right. Yes, Antoinette and the Savant. It must sound much better. Okay, what's it all about?
Well, I think part of the reason this is having its moment in Australian cinemas, and it deserves it, is that it was a big hit of the French Film Festival, right, which I think is still playing in parts of Australia, has finished in Sydney, but is still playing around the country. And it's been released in cinemas, but also its lead actress, Laure Calamy, won Best Actress at the César Awards, the French, you know, Film Industry Awards, a few weeks ago. And that was kind of a big fun deal because Laure Calamy plays Noemi in Call My Agent.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so she's one of the two assistants. You know, there's her and the male assistant. And I got to say, I gave up on Call My Agent because it got a bit too soapy for me. But from the very first episode, when I saw her in her very first scene, I thought, you are bigger than this part. You know, you're fifth or sixth or seventh or eighth down the cast list here, but you are a star and you will be a star. And she is now a star. She just won the César for playing Antoinette in the Savant. She just has that thing that Meg Ryan and Julia Roberts and Audrey Tautou had it. She's just born for rom-com, for romantic comedy. Mm. You know, she's just got those skills. She's got the look. She's got the comedic chops. But all of those actresses and she, they have to have something behind the comedic chops. You know, there has to be levels of dramatic skill to bring pathos to their characters. And she has all of that. And indeed, she's better than the movie, really. She gives this incredible star turn that won her a César Award in the kind of film that never wins actresses or actors big awards.
Okay.
You know, you just don't win Oscars for rom-coms. And that's essentially what this is. It's also a rural countryside French comedy. So she plays a school teacher in Paris who is having an affair with the father of one of her students. And her students are like 7 years old. And then when he goes off with his wife and daughter, who's her student, off to the Cévennes, for a hiking expedition, she decides to go along. So she's a little bit of a stalker. You know, she's not, she's a bit dodgy. And she goes along. And so it is the lively, witty, warm story of her trying to follow this guy she's having an affair with throughout the Cévennes. And it's not dark at all. I mean, that's the setup, which is kind of dark, but really it's about her discovering, you know, herself going on this hike with a donkey. And that's why the film is alternately called My Lover, My Donkey and I. Most of her scenes are with the donkey. I think its name is Patrick, that she goes along with. And she really just displays all this wonderful comedic warm skill in this most beautiful setting as she's hiking through the Cévennes in France. It's really delightful. I mean, the film is so light, yeah, but it's really, really charming. And she is charming. It's that wonderful thing of watching an actor take their place on the big screen and feeling like, I am here. I am seeing it happen right now. She's becoming a star in front of my eyes.
What's her name again?
Laure Calamy.
Laure Calamy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, now stars, TV, the TV show, made you look?
Four stars,
okay.
Yeah, highly entertaining.
This is the one about the art crime documentary.
Yeah.
Now, creation stories?
2.5.
Okay.
If you love that music, then it's much more like 3.5.
Okay, yeah. And the French one?
A solid three. It's not Citizen Kane, but it's very delightful and charming.
Laure Calamy.
Laure Calamy. Maybe it's pronounced Laurie.
L-A-U-R-E.
L-A-U-R-E, yeah.
I don't know, in the French, I don't know.
Yeah. And she's just so delightful. She deserved her win. And it's nice that they awarded someone in a light comedy, because doing light comedy is actually hard work.
And very, very skillful, actually.
Yeah, totally. Right. Yeah. And, you know, talk about Ginger Rogers doing it backwards in heels. She's doing it with a donkey.
Good to talk with you, CJ.
Thanks.
CJ Johnson with a look at films and TV.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.